are not ready for prime time.
Prime time.
Prime time.
Prime time. That's the name.
Prime time.
Prime time.
What time is it? Showtime prime time.
It's XL Prime Time. Featuring Joe C.
I would clean that bone about as good as anything.
Matt Hayes.
The guys they had last year, terrible.
And Leon Searcy.
Mama know that when you get to camp, you ain't gonna see a lot of Big Daddy.
How you like me now? How you like me now?
2 o'clock hour is hit. It is XL Primetime Golf Club of Southampton Wednesday. We got a little 9 after 5 later on tonight. And I guarantee you there'll be some of our 9 at 5ers that will be dressed in some teal and black and ready, fired up for the Jaguars picking 17th overall tomorrow night. It'll all be for real as they just wrapped up the media mock draft on 1010XL. A few surprises, safe to say, as I looked at Leon and Matt and we were looking at some of the selections, and including Frank Frangi, Matt Hayes. Frank Frangi, voice of your Jacksonville Jaguars, selecting Brian Thomas, 17th overall. When who was on the board?
Dallas Turner.
Interesting.
I love Frange, but if he's my GM, I fire him right now.
Now, listen, we have applied for the GM job, and mm-hmm. we fired some other people for the GM job.
Yeah, what about the outrage of there's two top five offensive linemen that weren't even drafted.
Utonu and Fuaga.
Neither one drafted.
Yeah, and so definitely worth looking at. We'll get into that as we go along today. And we've got a couple of what we think will be good storylines today. Pup Howard, who is a high school star on the First Coast, who went to South Carolina and then transferred to the University of Florida, just wrapped up his spring game. So he'll come up in about 45 minutes after our Bari breakdown with Dr. George Bari. We'll have Pup saying, hey, talking some Gators football. And then one of the guys that was selected with one of the very first number one overall or first round picks.
Number two overall. Yeah, Jaguar legend. Kevin Hart will be in studio at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, looking forward to that. So he'll kind of take us down memory lane when he was at Illinois and was one of the top players in the draft and was selected second overall, your first round draft pick in 1996 for your Jacksonville Jaguars. But honestly, just looking at a couple of the selections and just kind of perusing the possibilities, there are still a lot of good players that are going to be out there if the Jacksonville Jaguars stay at 17. So we will set up our X poll, and it's pretty simple because the cornerback position has to be on the minds of a lot of Jacksonville Jaguar fans out there. It may not be the best position or the sexiest position because I think you look for the playmaker, right, don't you, mm-hmm. at wide receiver. You look for maybe a rush in. You might be thinking about one of the big uglies, the big sexies, as Leon likes to call them. But that cornerback position, there's only so many good ones at the top. And so we'll put it out there with Kool-Aid McKinstry, with Quinyon Mitchell, Terrion Arnold, and Cooper DeJean. We'll throw in there as a wild card because some people have him rated higher than some of the other ones, if you can believe it. So we'll ask the question, if you're a Jaguar fan, are you willing to move up? If you're going to move up, which one do you want most? Are you willing to move back? Who do you think will still be there? And then vote as far as who you think the best of those will be. And we'll set that up coming up on X in just a little bit. But one thing I think we should get into, Leon, you are a what? You are a College Football Hall of Famer.
I am.
That's
proud too.
That's pretty cool recognition.
Yes.
The Miami Hurricanes decorated you and said you are in our Hall of Fame for the college football career that you had. Reggie Bush had him a hell of a college football career, mm-hmm. and they finally put him back where he belonged in the Heisman house with that Heisman trophy mm-hmm. in hand. What did you think of all the news when it came flying down?
Well,
with the Heisman trophy folks had decided.
About damn time. Mm-hmm. About damn time. The hypocrisy. All right, with everything that's going on right now in college football, you know, with the NIL deals and guys. Now, what he did was illegal, granted, back then. He didn't have NIL back then. He broke the rules, absolutely. But, I mean, and the reason why he got caught, is because he signed with, a known criminal who had a criminal background.
Convict,
had a criminal background and loaned the money. And then when he didn't sign with him, he exposed him and then, you know, turned. But here's the thing about Reggie Bush.
Lloyd Lake was his name.
Yeah, here's the thing about Reggie Bush. I can't unsee what I saw. You know what I'm saying? He was the most dynamic football player I had seen in a very, very long time. Listen, I had played against a guy named Rocket Ishmael, mm-hmm. who doesn't even come close to Reggie Bush as far as his elusiveness, his speed, his listen, let me just say this. He was box office.
Right.
Absolutely was. Box office. If USC was playing back in those days, I'm looking for USC and watching Reggie Bush. And it was just unfortunate that he had to give up his Heisman. But when I heard the news this morning, I woke up to it, I said, about damn time.
Yeah.
With the day and age, with all the guys getting money right now, I dare say he deserves that damn money that he got.
Well, this is the classic of you knew it was going on, mm-hmm. but they kind of made it look – not made it look, but they did it in a reckless way where it was easy to find out that Reggie was getting a house, he was getting some other benefits. Mm-hmm. Like Matt said, he was dealing – or the dealings involved people who had committed crimes.
Well, he didn't hide it well. This is what that because guys back in those days, they were getting money bag money.
No, it's not even that he didn't hide it well. It's that literally he told
exposed.
Lloyd Lake, you're not going to be my agent, and Lloyd Lake leaked the story. That's I mean, look, I look at this. I agree with Leon. In the modern era of college football, there may be three or four guys that were more electric and dynamic than him, and I'm putting Peter Work in there because I love Peter Work. My favorite
was
of all time.
Of some kind of good.
Special.
Now, I will say this. He did get caught.
Mm-hmm.
He did cheat.
And at the time,
the rules back then were the rules. All right? So I had no problem with them taking the Heisman from him.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's a very easy thing to get on a soapbox and scream, give him his Heisman back. And there's a lot of people in my business that do that. But I'm also the guy that says, look, he knew the rules. Everybody knew the rules.
And
there are other guys that were getting paid on the table. There's no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
But he got caught.
Yeah,
and you run the risk when you break the rules, you run the risk of getting caught. Then you got to deal with the circumstances of getting caught.
What was the classic story? All the Georgia players were in a certain kind of cleat, and Herschel was wearing a different kind of cleat.
Mm-hmm.
And you knew immediately that Herschel was told he was going to wear X for X dollars.
Yeah.
And that was all the way back in the 80s.
The only problem I had with it is this, Leon, real quick, is they took it away from Reggie Bush, but they didn't take it away from Johnny Manziel.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was caught too.
Yeah,
he was caught signing autographs,
sitting in a hotel room and just signing it left and right.
Right.
For
and so
guys.
You're telling me, I guess, because it was $330,000 with Reggie Bush, and it was I don't know $12,000 or something, mm-hmm. $15,000 something like that that they caught from Johnny Manziel, that was okay.
Yeah.
So that was really the only problem I had with it. If you're going to take it away from Reggie Bush, you better take it away from everybody else that had been caught while it happened as well, and that would be Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, and so in one way. The Heisman Trophy, the Heisman folks, the Heisman Trust, who I am honored to vote for that award, is that they finally took a look around and said, let's at least take stock of what's happening in the college football world now, or for that matter, college athletics, period. Amateur sports, and let's give this man his trophy, and let's catch up with the times. I think that's
By the way, they're here right now. Mm-hmm. They're here. They're doing a Nissan promotion.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're at Sawgrass right now, actually. And I think that's where Reggie was given his trophy.
Yeah.
Originally they said we are going by the NCAA's rules. And the NCAA says he's ineligible, so he's ineligible to win our award.
Mm-hmm.
And they finally just said, you know, we're not going by the NCAA eligibility issues anymore.
Right.
Well, here's the question. I mean, as far as what about back pay? What about the money he could have earned if he had still had that Heisman?
Well, you can say that for anybody.
I'm just saying, you can get an attorney. Hey, listen, you calls me not having the Heisman calls me money.
Who's he suing, though?
I don't know. Find somebody.
You can find a lawyer. You can
find somebody.
Right, and I would love to hear a judge go, actually, it's your stupidity that cost you money.
Yeah. And at the time, he knew that like Matt originally stated, he knew he was breaking the rules.
Of course, right. And you know you run the risk of getting caught.
Yeah. All right. And by the way, there were guys like
Well, that's 90% of the players
mm-hmm.
that run the risk of getting caught.
Right. I'm not
You know what I called the
you.
SEC when I was slain? You know what we called it? Some extra cash. That's what we called the SEC back in the day.
And why didn't you go there then?
Well,
Because you were getting some extra cash in Coral Gables. That's why.
Tell me you weren't because you already told us.
Yeah, it's Luke money.
Yeah. Because once you get it and you get caught, then you're going to have to accept the consequences at the time. And I don't mind him fighting it. He fought it for a long time. In his eyes, it was the good fight, and it ended up going his way. This will bring up, guarantee you, you'll see a headline tomorrow. So if Reggie Bush gets his Heisman back, why can't Pete Rose be in the Hall of Fame? You know that that's coming because they basically, let's forgive and forget, let's move on. But it was obviously a bit different sport, amateurism versus gambling, you know, all that type of stuff.
Still the unforgivable sin for all of them. Like baseball, the unforgivable sin is betting on baseball.
Yeah, it will
come up. And at that point, at that point when they were playing, okay, in the early 2000s when it was, you know, he was at his peak, Reggie Bush.
2005.
The unforgivable sin in the NCAA was taking money, taking illegal benefits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. They're going to wait. See, unfortunately, I think they're going to get red. Pete Rose is Bush when he's gone. It's Flowers when he's gone.
That's probably how it's going to go down.
Yeah.
I don't think they're ever going to give it to him.
No? Even if he's in the upper room?
I'm not saying it's right. I'm just
saying. If he's in the upper room, he still don't get no flowers? No? Okay.
I don't know.
All right.
I can see something like that happening when you start to go posthumously, where they'll look at it and they'll say, hey, we need to take care of our guy. All right, let's take care of a little bit of work here, because I would love to see you this afternoon at the 9 after 5, and there's work going on right now at the Golf Club of Southampton. I know Derek and all of them, Derek DeStefano, that's all the vows except you. He and everybody there getting it ready. They've got a great menu this evening after 9 holes. It's always a fun game. Little prizage, little dinner, and good golf. So you can call 287-PLAY, get on the tee sheet. Come on out this afternoon, teeing off a little after 5 o'clock. Give you guys time to get there and get into it. All right, so when we take a look at some of the selections that took place, especially around the 17th pick overall, I'm wondering what fans are starting to think, whether they're starting to panic and think that to get your guy, whoever your guy is, are you going to have to move up? Are you going to be able to move back? Are you going to be able to stand pat? It's like we said with our X poll, there's a lot of possibilities. RJ, lay it out.
Sorry. Our X poll question brought to you by Beaver Toyota, Beaver Chevrolet, the good folks there. If cornerback is the Jaguars' first round pick, who of these four would be your pick? You have the selection between Terrion Arnold, Kool-Aid McKinstry, Quinyon Mitchell, and Cooper DeJean. And do you feel that you would have to move up or move down in the NFL draft to get them? Let us know on Twitter. Just search at 1010XL.
Yeah, real simple to do that, so jump in. And then, look, the wide receiver, the offensive lineman, the defensive end, you could come at it with a number of other ones as well. Leon, as you scan the page and you start to take a look, there were a few surprises. And, again, these are with the mock draft, it's either beat reporters, people that cover the team on a regular basis, and there were definitely some surprises.
Well, yeah, I'm looking at the mock draft, and if we're going after DB, I'm looking at the Raiders. They took Quinyon Mitchell at 13. Mm-hmm. All right, so I'm looking at the Colts taking Terrion Arnold. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking that maybe we had to move to 14 with the Saints, because the Saints took what, Fashanu? They took the offensive lineman.
Yeah.
So maybe they think he's going to drop. Maybe we would have to make that kind of move where we, you know, leapfrog our divisional foe and get the cornerback that they garnish after. In order for us, if that's where we're going.
Exactly.
All right, we're going after a DB.
Yeah, so let's make this the 10-10 take real quick, and then we'll set it up, because you guys can go to X, throw your comment as far as where you think they could go, would have to go to get the guy if you want one of those cornerbacks.
Joe C's 10-10 take. Slow smoked and served up by Sonny's Barbecue, local pitmaster since 68.
You're going to get some delicious barbecue, especially if you're starting to get those hunger pangs in the middle of the afternoon. Just head on through any one of your area Sonny's curbside delivery. You can dine in. They will always take care of you, making sure that you get a great meal at a good price. And obviously, getting it on that smoke early is the key. Check out any one of your area Sonny's locations. Getting ahead of the Indianapolis Colts and maybe doing a deal with the New Orleans Saints makes a lot of sense, especially if you're looking at the cornerback position. And let's just play it out here real quick. If there are more than one offensive lineman that are still there, and you're looking at that Saints spot, and they feel like they can maneuver, accept a trade deal, step back, and still be able to get one of the desired targets that they've got, which is offensive line 100%, and then you get ahead of the Indianapolis Colts and you take one of those defensive backs, one of those key cornerbacks to help fortify what you're doing defensively and what Ryan Nielsen wants to do, that's not a bad move at all. That's the 10-10 take. And the Saints definitely would be a team that you'd have to target and take a look at.
Yeah, we talked about this yesterday. We were talking about points as far as, what would we have to give up? Maybe a third rounder. First and second. Yeah, okay. I mean, I can live with that. I mean, if that's the corner that you feel, the lockdown corner, the man coverage corner that we definitely need, and this is a tech style defense that we're going
to
be playing.
If you feel like you got to have him, yeah, but I wouldn't do it just to take the Colts out of the equation.
No. Because both have similar needs. Mm-hmm. But you also do have to – that has to be part of your hand play. You got to be considering what your in-division opponent is thinking, and if you can get ahead of them, it's not a bad place to go and have a conversation.
Right.
Because the Saints don't necessarily have that need, and they definitely have an offensive line need. Now, you got to make the decision. Are you in for an offensive lineman? Are you going to try and jump ahead to make sure that you get them? Then you won't be able to do a deal with the Saints because you'd have to go ahead of them because they're going to want an offensive lineman. So
if you really believe that Fuaga is a guy that's going to play 10 years in a league at whatever position you're putting him at, and he's there at 15 and you have to give up a third rounder for him, I would 100% do it.
If it's just a third rounder.
100%. You're going to give up your 17, obviously.
You're swapping picks.
Yeah. You're swapping picks, then you're probably going to – well, the
point total.
The point total says a third round pick.
Yeah. And I just feel like it seems like it's a little bit more than that.
They probably want to give up their second third rounder. Mm-hmm. Instead of their first third rounder. Yeah. But, I mean, it's you're going to have to make a deal.
All right, so you guys jump in on that. 641-1010. You can head to X, vote in the X poll, and let us know what you think there. We'll keep an eye on all of it as far as what's being said today, what's going on. John Lynch had something to say about Brandon Ayuk. That's certainly worth bringing up, so we want you guys to hear that as well. Coming up, it's XL Primetime on a Golf Club of Southampton Wednesday.
Cruising with XL Primetime in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios on 1010XL. This is XL Primetime, brought to you by Florida Home AC. Now that's cool on 1010XL.
Hanging out on a beautiful Wednesday, Joe C., Matt Hayes, Big Leon Searcy, along with RJ Saunders. Appreciate you hanging out with us. You can go to YouTube. You can search 1010XL on YouTube. You can see the live stream. You can hang out, throw some comments our way on YouTube, or you can check out the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures at 641-1010. And just throw a thought out as far as what you think Jacksonville is thinking right now as we get closer and closer to the draft. Of course, you got all the other possibilities ahead of Jacksonville. Possibility is maybe a bunch of trades. I was checking out Peter Schrager, who is part of Good Morning Football, part of Fox, has been doing a good job in the NFL for a long, long time. Anyway, he feels like once you get around 6 to 10 in terms of the first round, that there could be a move or two that would create a chain reaction. And then you had a couple of other talking heads in the NFL world chiming in, Leon, saying that they believe when it's all said and done, 8 to 10 moves could be made in the first round. Now, think about it. You got 32. You're talking about 1/4 of those draft slots changing hands if they're correct.
All it takes is the one unpredictable player that goes, and then the domino effect. I've seen it every year. It's the domino effect. That one piece that goes, whether it be a quarterback, a wide receiver, or offensive lineman, or whatever. And then I don't know the teams. I don't know. I'm not in their rooms. I'm not in their war rooms. I mean, they panic and they make deals to get guys that they got on their board. So I wouldn't be surprised. I've seen it year after year. I've seen it happen. Sometimes they overdraft.
There's always one team that panics.
Always.
There's always one.
That's
team.
All it needs.
Or multiple. There's always one team that thinks, no, this is the guy. And they take someone. You're like, what?
It's like a fire sale.
Not a first round pick. And then all of a sudden, boom, it connects.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like there's this really dry, heaping pile of hay, and then somebody makes a pick, and it's a thrown a match.
Oh, yeah. And then it just all starts to burn and churn. Diana Rossini, she's one of the names that you're familiar with covering the National Football League. And honestly, if these things start to fall, it will create a bevy of activity. The Eagles are trying to move up for a corner. The Vikings are eyeing Drake May for a big haul. The Broncos need to be in love to get a quarterback. The Titans could go wide receiver. Quarterback Michael Penix Jr. stock is up. The Texans want back in on the action. So there's all types of possibilities that are being thrown out. You've heard several guys, including Pete Prisco, with his who they should take mock yesterday when he had Malik Nabers ahead of Marvin Harrison. And the odds are all starting to move. Not all of them in that favor, but more and more chatter about Malik Nabers being ahead of Marvin.
I mean,
it's crazy.
It's not crazy because at some point, all these guys, these personnel guys think, all right, well, what's the negative?
Mm-hmm.
They no longer look at the positive. It's now
true.
Now you start to panic. The closer you get is, all right, well, what's the negative? And the negative with him is he refused to run, both at the combine and his pro day. And you can say, well, He had plenty of tape. He didn't need to, and I would agree with that. All I'm telling you is that's if they're looking for a negative, that's going to be a very big negative.
It's so funny because this is when GMs at times can really be coy about what they're going to do, or they could make a bonehead decision and say, hey, that guy seems arrogant to me. I'm not going to take him. Have you met wide receivers?
Well.
They are divas, okay?
Yeah. Listen, it's teams. Most teams do character assassinations on players.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely, especially at this point in the period.
They hope they fall,
hope they fall. Yeah. They'll put stuff out there. It might be a player they want. And they'll put stuff out there. Well, this guy, he's arrogant. He's this, he's that. I don't like his attitude. Well, knowing good and doggone well, you want him. You want him just as bad as anybody else. So, there's character assassination that are done by GMs and teams.
It's crazy.
It is. They're posturing. They all lie. Yeah. All of them lie. No truth in them right now.
It's been lying season for a while, that's for sure. All right, just from the latest betting odds that are out there, the prohibitive favorite is Caleb Williams to go number one. Prohibitive favorite now to go number two is Jaden Daniels, then Drake May, then J.J. McCarthy's up to a 10-1 selection. Number three overall, Drake May is now the betting favorite, then J.J., and then Jaden, because this is, of course, the possibility if some were to jump up and Jaden Daniels were to fall. But most right now are thinking Caleb, Jaden Daniels, and then it's either Drake May or J.J. McCarthy is that number three pick. Then you get to the number four, Marvin Harrison, still the betting favorite. J.J. McCarthy is in there because they think somebody might be able to jump up to that number four pick, take Arizona's pick, and pick the quarterback. Drake May is still a betting choice, plus 550, and then 14-1 for Malik Nabers. And then you start to get to the Chargers pick. You got Joe Alt. You got one of those two wide receivers. Mm-hmm. One of those two wide receivers that Justin Herbert certainly could use.
They lost both of theirs.
Yeah. And then, obviously, you start to think about the linemen as well as to whether or not Jimmy Harbaugh would go with the numbers as far as linemen are concerned because he wants that big beef up front, you know. I saw some numbers, and this is what you guys have talked about. You preached the big uglies a bunch. And this kind of blows my mind just a little bit. Matter of fact, I'll save it, and we'll try and do it coming up in just a little bit because it has to do with the big uglies, which a lot of people think the Jacksonville Jaguars need to be focused in on to give Trevor as much protection up front as they possibly can. So we'll dig into that coming up in just a bit, 641-1010. You guys can hit the text line, Design My Lifetime Enclosures, as we get ready for your Jaguars drafting tomorrow night, 17th overall. You can be part of the party down at Everbank Stadium inside Daly's Place with all that's going on. Just go to Jaguars.com for all the details as we will have the broadcast all the way through the first round.
You're riding in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios. XL Primetime on 1010XL. Our next guest is not affiliated with the NFL or Jacksonville Jaguars.
Discussion of injuries is solely based on opinion.
Now, the Barry Orthopedics and Sports Medicine Injury Breakdown.
I'm coming in hot.
Our man is in the house, Dr. George Barry. Gio, I like to call him. Gio, how you doing, man?
What's up, guys?
Listen, dude, we are fired up, and here we are. The countdown to the draft is on. Tomorrow night, the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to be making the selection, 17th overall. Now, young George, who is your son, who is a diehard Jaguar fan, does he believe that they are going to trade up, trade back, stay at 17? I know he's done the analysis as a youngster.
I have not asked his opinion on the subject yet.
I know that he probably has a mock draft that you're not even aware of.
Right, I'm sure.
Let's get to some sports injuries. Dr. George Barry, fellowship trained under the renowned Dr. James Andrews. If you got a sports injury question, 641-1010, you can fire him at us. I got a couple left over from last week when Gio was in. So definitely, if you have any aches, pains, whatever it might be, 641-1010, because this is, you know, the 2 o'clock audience, they're here for you, man. Used to be in the 1 o'clock hour, now it's 2 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
So you got brand new injuries. As a matter of fact, I just want to get to this one because this dude was desperate for some help. And he says, please, Gio, cortisone shots only do so much. All right. So he wants to know, he said he sprays lawns all day. So he's on his feet. Arch supports are uncomfortable because, sadly, I'm flat-footed. He shot a picture of what looks like a pretty heinous little area there in the bottom of the foot. Okay. And so he's thinking plantar, okay? So what are we looking at? What are we looking at?
Yeah, so a couple of things. When you think of flat feet, I always say that people with flat feet look like if you when they're wet, their footprint is like a seal, right? You get that, like, their foot that's rotated. And people with that get bad peroneal tendonitis and bad tendonitis and pain over the navicular bone, okay, because that peroneal tendon, one of them attaches to it and starts pulling traction, and it gets lengthened and it causes a lot of pain. You can inject a peroneal tendon, the sheath, with cortisone. You don't really want to inject the insertion point of the navicular with cortisone. If you want to try one, you could, but I'd highly try not to do that, just risk of rupture. Right. You do a PRP shot on it. Physical therapy does help. Arch supports can help, although he's tried it and didn't work. Now, the other option is you can have plantar fasciitis, which I'm not sure the picture, I couldn't tell if that's where it was or not, but a cortisone shot usually works for plantar fasciitis. If it doesn't work, I've had a handful of patients who've had a cortisone shot not work, and a PRP shot does really well with that. But therapy does well in the sense that you can you need to stretch your Achilles tendon and then stretch the plantar fascia with like a frozen water bottle and just kind of rub it on the bottom.
Very good tip.
And helps that. That's what it seems like he has, although I haven't, you know, obviously examined him. But those are the three things that I think about when someone mentions their foot hurts, they tried cortisone, and they're also flat-footed.
BariOrthopedics.com. You want to go see Doc, you can go check him out. There are locations all over the city. And don't forget, PRP, very, very helpful. That's for sure.
All right, let's get back to the draft. Tomorrow's draft, Jags picking at 17. UCLA Edge, Latu Latu, or as Joe likes to call him, Latu Latu, because you just can't remember these Polynesian names.
I just blurted it out really fast.
it sounds right, right? If he's continue doing it.
Yeah.
So he had neck fusion surgery early in his career at Washington. Washington school officials would not allow him to play. He went to go see noted neck and back orthopedist Robert Watkins. Do you know him?
No.
Heard of him? He's out on the West Coast. They say he's noted, George. So he must be important, George. Yeah. So he went to go see him, he said after a battery test, he was cleared.
Okay.
Now, the question then becomes is, he's played 2 years since. He's played at a high level. Is that a concern? Like, if he falls to 17, he's sitting there. Is that a concern as a noted orthopedist? Is that a concern for you?
You know, number one, you do have some decreased range of motion. So that's one. And that's definitely a concern, especially in football where your neck is going to get jolted back, et cetera.
So explain neck fusion for everybody.
So, you know, you have disc space in between. That's how your back goes forward, forward flexion and extension. Well, when one of the levels gets arthritic, then you have to fuse. You end up fusing, or if the disc space goes away, you fuse it. So it stops the pain because it stops the movement. When you fuse a joint in the neck or a disc in the neck, the problem becomes the joint space above and the joint space below now have more stress. And that's why you hear people say, once you get one back surgery, you're going to keep on getting them. Because eventually, they're going to start wearing out above and below quicker.
Right.
Just the nature of the beast. When you fuse one area, everything
and
else.
Like you always say, once you fix something, something else is going to try and compensate.
Right. So that's what happens. Anyway, so for him, it's more of a long-term thing that he's going to have a disease above and below it, we call it. And it goes up 3% a year, et cetera. Him playing football will drastically make that go faster. But in theory, if you fuse a bone, it's healed just like any other bone. It has the strength of any other bone, so it shouldn't have a problem. The issue is people freak out. It's your neck.
Yeah.
And granted, you know, they have every right to. It's your neck, and if something goes wrong, we're talking bad things if something happens at C4, right?
Nothing good happens.
No. It's not like you fuse a part of your foot and you're running, right? I mean, if something happens in your neck, then that's a big problem. So that's the problem with these neck fusions and them going back. I think Andrew Luck have a fusion? Or no, Peyton Manning had a fusion.
No, Peyton Manning. Yeah, he had it multiple times.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. All right, real quick. NHL Stanley Cup playoffs are going on right now. This question was asked by a hockey fan. Text into XL Primetime. Question for Doc. Patrick Kane, the hockey player that had hip resurfacing, what does that mean?
Yeah, so to make this quick, whenever you have arthritis, you're usually, as you get older, the ball and socket wear out. But when you're young, sometimes the socket is fine, it's just the ball that's bad. And a lot of times that can happen if you have what we call like avascular necrosis, where the ball is dying either from a trauma or from like sickle cell disease or any other, some medications cause it, or bad alcoholism can cause it. But he's a hockey player. I don't know what he had, if he had avascular necrosis, but he could have had it with the trauma, if you had a subluxating hip, etc. So when you're young, if you have arthritis and the socket is pretty good, you can just resurface the ball.
Okay.
And keep your natural socket. You don't hear many resurfacings because most people who have a replacement in arthritis are in the older population, and most of the time the socket is gone as well as the ball. So you change both the ball and the socket.
I got you.
But when you have some certain things that cause the ball only to become arthritic or avascular necrosis, and the socket is fine, then you could do a resurfacing and just mess with the ballpark.
I'm thinking about getting resurfacing somewhere else. I'm not quite sure
He cannot help himself.
I'm
going to
zero in on it at some point. I don't know what I'm going to do, when I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it.
He needs a transplant.
It's unreal. Yeah. He cannot help himself, man.
Dr. George Barry, you can check him out. You can go to barryorthopedics.com if you want to hear any of our podcasts, Breaking
Apple,
Bones.
Google, Spotify, and the 1010XL website.
That's right. All you got to do is hit 641-1010. If you got a question, we'll try and get it on Sunday show. Gio, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right, so if we missed yours, we will make sure that we get to it Sunday, 7:30. We definitely appreciate Dr. George Barry dropping by, and we hope that Grayson Howard will be ringing up the phone here in just 1 second. I'm looking at Leon, and you can go to YouTube and just punch in 1010XL. There's only one guy that can pull this off. Actually, I think of two guys at the radio station that can pull this off. Mm. One that proudly wears his name. You've seen him. You've heard of him. His name is Hacker. And Leon. And then Leon pulls it off. It's like
that's a great point.
That's a good looking shirt right there.
Well, you know, I mean, I have to advertise. You know, I got cigars. You know, and the big Circes are making a comeback in a couple of weeks. So I thought I'll walk and advertise them now.
Yeah,
because they've sold out, which is a good thing always.
Yeah,
they're in demand.
I would never not wear that shirt.
Right.
If I was Leon.
And quite frankly, the only way Hacker pulls it off is because he has just zero filter.
No,
zero.
Yeah, it's the truth. That's now true, he's going to have to come back and maybe size it down a little bit based on recent events. Dude's dropped a half a hundred,
right.
Which is pretty dang cool. All right, off the text line, as we hope for Grayson Howard to call us in just a second. Now a former Jackson High star here, went to South Carolina, and now in Gainesville. Matt and Baker, it drives me crazy to see Turner and Verse on the board, and we take a wide receiver. You kidding me? Kid from Western Kentucky is a stud, and we could get him in round two. Is it Malachi Corley?
But also, trust me, Matt and Baker, don't worry. If Dallas Turner's there at 17, they're not passing on Dallas Turner.
I wouldn't think so.
No chance.
I wouldn't think
ever.
So. You got a few other ones as far as
if Fuaga's there at 17, they're not passing on Fuaga.
Well, here's another one. Fuaga changes the entire tone and attitude of the offense. You agree with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. A big, mean, physical. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's what you want. Temperature changer.
Nasty. Dirty. I'm going to just beat the hell out of you every single play.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you want, right? When
the
guy knows you're coming every single play, that's imposing your will.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. And you don't wear down. You wear them down. Mm-hmm. And submission is what it basically is. The cornerback subject with the Jaguars. You can go to X and you can vote at 1010XL. This is off the text line. If Mitchell is off the board, only move is to trade down and get Kool-Aid. Kool-Aid McKinstry could slide down a little bit because of that Jones fracture. The way Gio has described it to us is that it's nothing really to panic about, that Kool-Aid's already proven he could run with the Jones fracture that was diagnosed and then go get the procedure after that. Another one, do not move up for a cornerback. I totally get it. I totally get it. Because some of them you feel like it's not worth going up and getting. So
well it's interesting. It's interesting that, you know, Adam Schefter had this little draft value chart that he sent out, and the hits and hit rate of all these of each position. The best positional hit rate, by the way, the best, number one, by far, center, 92% over the last 10 years, I believe it is. Offensive tackle second at 59%. Guard is third at 50%.
Are those all first round choices?
Yeah.
Okay.
In the first round. Edge is 44%. Cornerbacks all the way down at 38%. And wide receiver, the worst of the group, 27%.
You can't go wrong if you go O line, baby.
That's what I'm saying.
You can't go wrong.
You cannot go wrong.
All right. I'm going to pair that up with this. Because you can always take whatever information is out there, and you can go in one direction or the other. But this is from Warren Sharp, Sharp Analysis.
Hang on, real quick. It was the last 20 years, not 10. I was
last 20.
20 years.
Mm. Okay, and look, that's good analysis. It's not like you're taking a short, small sample size and throwing a big old blanket over it. But this one kind of got me a little bit. I was surprised by it. This is from Warren Sharp. No team over the last 5 years has invested more in the NFL draft on offensive linemen than the Giants and the Jets. And yet, no team over the last 5 years has had a higher quarterback pressure rate allowed than those two.
Well, in all fairness, Andrew Thomas is pretty special. He just got a long-term deal. Mm-hmm. Their left tackle with the Giants, he's pretty special.
Yeah.
Yeah. Andrew Thomas. He's the one guy of the bunch that definitely lived up to his billing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you have Mekhi Becton. We talked about Vernius Coles yesterday, mm-hmm. and they still are looking at offensive linemen just to help A-Ron as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But you think about that, and I know that the big men are precious. There's only so many of them, fewer of them than other positions. You can go find 6'1", 190 in a bunch of spots, but you can't go find 6'8", 340 like Amarius Mims.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still a little bit of a crapshoot.
Yeah.
Plus, doesn't that diva have to factor in at some point?
What's that?
Doesn't the diva factor with wide receivers have to factor in? No offense to Jimmy, who's probably out there listening going, ain't nothing wrong with the diva. I get all that.
Jimmy was a diva.
I get all that. But doesn't that have to factor in at some point? If you're picking in the first round, well, you got a choice to get an offensive line.
No, because they're all needy, bro. They all need it. They're all open. And they all want the ball. Mm-hmm. You don't think I was in the huddle? I was in the huddle with, well, Keenan was more so than anything. He was always open, wanted the ball. And, I don't have a problem with that because I know they're playmakers. I know if you get the ball in the hands, they're going to stretch the field. They're going to make big plays. So I never got upset with the communication that they told the quarterback that I'm open. They all want the ball. So, I mean,
Don't mind that either, but I guess my point is, in the first round, is there that danger of, you know, these guys are, they're high maintenance.
Yeah.
You know, and is that an issue where you may want to avoid it?
But a lot of organizations, they already know that going in. You don't think Marvin Harrison's high maintenance? He may be quiet and subtle and subdued, but I'm sure with that once he gets into organization, yeah.
Oh yeah. All right. We'll keep the draft talk going. Let's talk to a young man who may be dreaming about the draft, but he wants to put that off just a little bit longer.
Let's ring up another guest on the All Pro Roofing phone line.
All right, he is from Jacksonville, played at Jackson, was a star there, went up to South Carolina, as we said, but from Columbia to Gainesville he goes. Grayson Howard, Pup Howard, joins us on the XL Primetime. Pup, thanks for taking the time. How are you?
I'm good. Blessed to be here. I'm blessed to talk to y'all today.
Hey, listen, we appreciate it. We had you in studio before when you were making your big decision, and you did tell all of Duval what it was like to be recruited by Shane Beamer and go up to South Carolina. What led you to the decision to go from there to Gainesville, and how have things set in?
I think the opportunity to, develop on the field and off the field with a great staff a little closer to home. And the opportunity to, you know, just be my best self, I think that all led me to my decision. It's been great up here, and I can't complain at all.
So, Pup, a lot of us are looking, you know, at this at college football now from 30,000 feet and seeing the movement with players. Explain what it's like as a player from a player's point of view, where you now have the ability where if it's not working out for one way or the other, or if you just want to get back closer to home, it's now available to you, and how good that is to have that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a blessing. You know, you really don't know what you're going into. I mean, you can only just pray about it. So, I mean, the option to come back home was there, and I thank God every day for giving me that opportunity.
Now, Pub, was there anything specific about the defense that led you to want to come back and play for the University of Florida?
I mean, great players play at the University of Florida. I mean, and you got great players still here on staff with Brandon Spike, Mike Peterson. I mean, who wouldn't want, if you play linebacker, you want to play linebacker in the league, why not surround yourself by players like that?
Yeah, when you think about Mike Pete, he's one of my favorite Gators. There's no question about it. And one of my favorite cats up here in Duval playing for the Jags. What has been the mindset under Coach Armstrong, and for that matter, Coach Napier, just as far as what you are trying to get done on the defensive side?
I mean, they make sure that I'm working hard each and every day, and they give me the platform to be the best player and be my best self. I mean, this spring has been really good to me, and I think it's been really good for the development of all the players on the roster. So, I mean, they're just great coaches, and they definitely bring the best out of you.
So, Pup, I'm sure you know the struggles of the Gators defense the last couple of years. Ron Roberts comes in now to help out. What has been his impact on the defensive side of the ball?
I freaking love Coach Ron. I mean, he's a great coach, and, I mean, not only does he – emphasize the importance of practice. He emphasizes our confidence and our technique, and he just made me a better linebacker, and I can definitely feel it each and every day I go out there to practice. I mean, his impact in our room is amazing. He's brought us closer. I feel like we're a very tight unit, and I feel like everybody on here has the ability to contribute, and everybody in the room definitely has a benefit from him.
I mean, just from your response there, Pup, has he changed the entire team as well, not just the defense? Because it sounds like he's kind of energized the place.
Yeah, he's a great guy for sure, and I mean, he's had an impact on from the head man to the people walking around the facility. I mean, he's a great guy, and I mean, if you follow his history, you know that he had an impact on coaches here and coaches everywhere else as well.
Well, you know what, Pup, I'm glad you're back in the state of Florida. You know, playing the University of Florida, and being a Jacksonville native, that's got to be exciting for you and your family. But unfortunately, and me being a University of Miami Hall of Fame, unfortunately, August 31st, you got a swarm of bees coming at you.
Yes, sir.
Just wanted to remind you of that. Why you all happy to come home?
Absolutely, I hear you.
And, you know, I would think, Pup, you've got a couple more with Grayson Howard, Pup Howard from Jackson, and now at the University of Florida. I would think that's going to be your main focus. A lot of the players will carry that out of the spring game through the off season, mm-hmm. continue in the summer. What has the conversation been like in the locker room with that game?
I mean, we're all just focused on the one step at a time. I mean, we were focused on spring, and our spring, I mean, we practiced very hard here. So each day was focused on the day one of spring. So, I mean, each day was focused on that exact day. And, I mean, we're just looking forward to summer preparation right now. And I feel like with the people that we have in the building and the program that we have in play, that after this summer, we're going to be very prepared for game one, but all the other 11 games that come after that as well.
Hey, Pup, you know, we watch Billy Napier from the outside. You see him in games. We get little snippets of him on our radio show or on TV. Explain to everybody what he's like, as not only as a coach, mm-hmm. but a person too.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a true ball coach. And, I mean, he definitely wants the best for this program and us as individuals. I mean, he prides himself in being a coach on the field, but also make sure that we are getting what we can get out of this university. I mean, it's a prestigious university, and being going here, I mean, he just emphasizes, you know, making sure our academics is good as well. But he's a great coach with you on the field and off the field, and I mean, he's a good guy, and I'm glad that he's my coach.
All right, so before we let you go, and you weren't there last year, and as Matt just said, that defense sagged mightily, and Billy mm-hmm. felt like he needed to make sure he changed things. Can you give us an idea of what you think might have been changed from last year to this year as you stepped in to be part of this program?
I mean, I feel like the players are more confident and they're more bought into the system. I mean, Coach Armstrong does a great job at making sure that we know the plays, but not only the play, but why, and making sure that we know all the other 10 players on the field and what they have to do and how their job affects us. So, I mean, I think that as a defense, we are connected. Deeper than football, of course, and I think that understanding everything is just going to help us be a better defense.
Hey, Pup, thanks so much for joining us, and good luck this fall, okay?
Absolutely. I really appreciate you.
Shout out a little Duval right now, Grace. Come on.
Duval!
All right, thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. That's awesome.
Yes, sir.
Perfect. Right into the draft.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to go from that Duval cheer to a guy that was drafted by Duval. First-round pick. Second year of this franchise.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Jaguar legend.
K-Hart.
And K-Hart.
Kevin Hardy, we're going to say hello to him coming up here in just a second on XL Primetime.
The First Coast Honda Dealer Studios on 1010XL. Let's ring up another guest on the All-Pro Roofing phone line. This is XL Primetime, brought to you by Florida Home AC. Now that's cool on 1010XL.
Everybody, I like to say all of Duval all the time. They got football on the brain. They got draft on the brain this week. That's for sure, with the Jaguars making that 17th pick overall tomorrow night. Let's talk two-way Jaguar who knows what it's like to be selected as we welcome in Kevin Hardy, Joe C., Matty Hayes, Big Leon Searcy, and RJ Saunders with XL Primetime. K-Hard, welcome in. How you doing, man?
I am doing excellent. I love this time of the year. I can't wait till tomorrow night like everybody else, and I'm glad to be here with you guys.
Hey, we appreciate it. Do you get that energy, that excitement? Because you've stayed in town. You are a Jaguar through and through.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, the NFL has done such they do a good job with everything in terms of, you know, from the Super Bowl to the combine to the draft and everything that happens throughout the summer. I mean, it's all NFL all the time. But I think the draft weekend is probably my favorite. Yeah. You know, just because it was so special to me, but it's – it's life changing to so many people, and it's just fun to you know all the buildup leading up, and then to see how it culminates that weekend is amazing.
Yeah, so you went to New York. You went to New York for the draft. So how was that? I mean, I know everything was red carpet, five star, just how you like it. But what did it feel like to walk on that stage, man? I mean, you know, number two pick overall, you walk on that stage, get that jersey, meet the commission, all that media and fanfare. I mean, what was that experience like?
It was special. And I think, you know, first of all, it was really neat to be around all the players, you know, all the guys that you've seen, you know, on TV and be talked about, and then to get in the room and then be around all those guys and just kind of share some stories, you know, but you know what that's like, you know, that was really fun. But when it came to draft day, you know, it was just so special because there was so much anticipation. Now, a lot of the guys, like you look at a guy like Caleb Williams, you know, those first few guys, they typically know that they're going to, you know, get drafted like that. And, you know, like my situation was a little different in that, you know, there was, you know, before the draft, I had visited four of the five teams. Mm-hmm. And that year, the Jets had the first pick, Jacksonville had second, Arizona, Baltimore, and then the Giants. I visited every team except the Jaguars.
The Coy Coughlin.
And I didn't think, you know, I was on Jacksonville's radar, you know. But one thing that did happen, when I went to visit the Giants, I met with the late George Young and Dan Reeves, just those two. And Dan Reeves told me, he was like, you know, we don't think you're going to be there at five. He was like, but if you are, I can guarantee you'll be a New York Giant. Mm-hmm. So that was, you know, walking out of that meeting, I thought to myself, man, you know, I'm going to be a top five pick, you know. And so come draft day, that was the only thing on my mind. I was like, you know, I know I'm not going past five.
You're not
going to win. So at least I thought, you know. But that worked out.
All right, so I'm going to let everybody know how the sausage is made. So Kevin comes in during the break, and Leon and I have been screaming about offensive line for 3 months now. Need a mean, nasty dude up there to set the tone. Kevin immediately just pops the balloon. Immediately. Leon.
He's a hater, man. He's been a hater since back in the day. He's been a hater.
He said all you need is a coach to stick his head in the room and go, y'all got to play better.
Yeah, play better. Yeah. Man. I mean, come on. You know, when you look at the first round, like the, you know, where we are right now, you know, I really think we need a playmaker. I think we need somebody that has last swag and take the top off the defense, you know. Obviously, you know, receiver.
You see him, but Sully wasn't a playmaker?
Well, see,
the team was different.
The team was different at that time. You know, the need wasn't as big.
Yeah.
No, but, I mean, that's how I feel. I feel like, you know, we need
so
a big.
So you want to give Trevor another weapon? That's what you're saying.
I absolutely do. And if we can't, then, you know, there's playmakers on defense too, you know, and I think, you know, a top-notch corner, because the league is an offensive league now.
Yeah, right? It is offensively driven.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at, you know, the highest-rated players, they're all offensive guys. Everybody's breaking their necks to get a quarterback, you know, these receivers, even offensive, you know, tackle. So, I mean, you either need to get a playmaker on offense or, you know, somebody that's going to stop that. So I'm either looking at maybe a corner, or if I'm hearing that one of these edge rushers might be around, if one of those guys are around, you know, maybe one of those guys.
Yeah, a Dallas Turner, a Jared Verse, somebody like that could just scare the hell out of an opposing quarterback. We got Kevin Hardy hanging out in studio with us for a couple segs. You guys want to hit the text line at 641-1010. You can definitely shoot a question K-Hard's way. You can go to YouTube, search 1010XL. You can see Big K-Hard because they, you know, offensive lineman, linebacker, they had to size each other up as soon as they walked in and check each other out.
Yeah, you know.
But, and by the way, Leon's got his own shirt, and he didn't give you one of those yet. Baselli gave you something. But.
Yeah, you went to Baselli's golf tournament, didn't you?
And I'm going to go to your golf tournament.
Yeah, I know. I appreciate it. Thank you, sir. That's when you'll get your shirt.
Oh, okay. All
okay,
right.
So just go back to the point, though, as far as offense goes, because they're talking about a record, Kevin, that we could see around two-thirds of the first round be on the offensive side of the football because of the number of quarterbacks, linemen, the wide receivers. So that kind of speaks to your point.
Absolutely. And I think that if you look at our team, I mean, defensively, I like our front 6-7 on defense. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, you know, the secondary needs a little bit of help. But I think that and I'm not sure, like, what are they going to, a 4-3 this year?
Yeah, 4-3.
Yeah, 4-3. And to be honest, like nowadays, even teams that run 4-3, you know, it's a lot of times it's nickel.
Right.
So it's really not that third outside linebacker. It's a 4-2-5.
Yeah, that's what they're going to be doing. They're going to be running more 4-2-5. 5 DB.
Right. So with the six guys, you know, Roy Robinson Harris, the guy
Trayvon
from San Francisco.
And Josh,
Trayvon and Josh.
Yeah, yeah.
Eric.
It, you know, it's solid right there. Obviously, you know, if you get one of them edge rushers, one of those guys come off the field and, you know, and he's rushing. But I just feel like the offense needs more weapons, you know. And I know there's talk about the offensive line, and, you know, and we joke a little bit, but I mean, but honestly, you know, the offensive line is a mentality, you know, and those guys just need to buckle down. And I mean, because, yeah, certainly there's, you know, there's a couple of very big stud offensive linemen out there. But I really feel like, you know, probably those guys are going to go early, and there are more receivers that are going to be available, I think, at that time. And I think giving Trevor a big weapon that can stretch the field will really help this team.
Yeah, a good weapon that can stretch the field while he's on his back throwing it up in the air. I totally agree with you, and you give him. But you get, if you don't protect 16 first and foremost, the ball doesn't travel downfield. The premise of the offense is to first protect Trevor.
Yeah,
and unfortunately last year he got hurt a lot, and some was on him, and some was on the breakdown of protection. And if you're telling me with this offensive line that was just terrible, mass majority of the season, especially down the stretch in December, when you know you got to play your best ball in December, right? It leads right up to the playoffs. You got to be playing your best ball, and we stunk it up, and we got beat up physically up front. So I'm just saying that you get an offensive line, someone that you bring in there, a young stud, who could turn up the temperature and puts the pressure on those guys to play a lot better.
Preach.
Because this sounds like, listen, oh, this like at the Y. Listen,
you played O-line too, huh?
I just don't like the fact that the Jaguars are saying, okay, we good with what we have. Let's run it back. That's like playing in the senior league at the Y. You know, you got that old man team and you win a game. You're like, hey, we got to make some changes.
We got a second round pick, a third round pick.
There you go.
So, you know, I saw one mock that had Christian Haynes. Now, I know that name because, you know, he's at UConn, and he's probably one of the better interior offensive line. That, you know, I watched him at the Senior Bowl, really graded out well.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw one of the mock drafts that had him coming to Jacksonville. So, okay. There you go right
and
there.
And what round? What round?
Second or third? Third round.
Third round? Third round.
Because honestly,
too late.
Not going to be impactful. No.
but if you are looking at the interior guys in particular, because that's really – if we're being honest, they did not knock people off the ball, that middle three. That's where they struggled. That third and one, fourth and one, it's that I can't get a yard out of this line.
Yeah.
So those interior spots could use it. Second or third round is where you go get those guys.
Or the weight room.
Yeah.
Listen. When the general manager, Trent Baalke, comes out at the beginning of the year and says, hey, listen, we gotta get tougher and more physical up front. It's not going to be because of practice. Now, you know, if TC has said that, we know what's up with that. That means that practice is going to be longer and more intense. But because of everything that's watered down now, you know, with the practice and everything, that means you're going to go get a guy that's going to be tough and intense and physical. And that's because you can't change the mentality of a player in practice anymore because they keep the same tempo. You've been out there and seen it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I agree with that part. But the point that I'm making with that stuff is, is being honest, you know, you said being tough and intense, you know, powerful, it's stuff that you can work on, you can build, you can truly build that in the weight room, you know, or just, you know, just being around facility, the technique work and all that kind of stuff. You can't take an average receiver and make him into an explosive playmaker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I feel like there's a certain group of guys that have that juice that, you know, now certainly – everybody in the NFL is talented. You know, there's talented receivers all over. The Jags have talented receivers.
Mm-hmm.
But still, you know, to have that impactful guy, you could only get those guys, you know.
They're rare. There's no doubt.
Yeah. And you know, not to say that I'm not sure who they have their eye on. I mean, I know, you know, all the experts say there's only like three top-notch receivers, and they won't be around, you know, at 17. But you never know. You never know, but I still think that's the good.
You know this, K-Hart. You can't teach dog.
You can't. You can't.
You either got it or you don't.
You know that. Yeah.
We've been in enough locker rooms to know that. You can't teach dog. You can sniff them out from a mile away in the locker room. You can't teach that.
So who's
sniff
the dog?
Out the non-dogs.
That's
too,
what
right?
I'm saying. You can sniff out the non-dogs. You can sniff out a dog or a non-dog.
Who's the dog we're looking at 17 offensive linemen?
Fuaga.
Fuaga.
Fontenot, same
Fontenot.
Thing.
Yeah, both of them. Yeah.
If they're there,
they may not be there. Right. We're hoping right now.
A Latham from Alabama, Mims from Georgia. And again, it's a crapshoot. It really is because of what we were talking about before. Luke Joker was the second overall pick and didn't see a second contract.
Yeah.
And we mentioned earlier.
Which is who Kevin, the first guy he brought up as he walked in.
Wait a minute.
First of all, y'all ruined him when he got drafted, naming him Baby Bocelli. That was it. I knew it was over after that.
You can't do that. All right, now listen, we're going to keep it going. One more segment with Kevin Hardy, number 51. You can hit the text line 641-1010. You can go to YouTube, throw up a comment there because he's hanging out in the studio with us one more sec. We got to ask him about his young sons because he raised good young men and then football players on the side as well. So we'll talk about that coming up on XL Primetime.
Buckle up. You're in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios with XL Primetime on 1010XL. Find your new Honda at your 8 local Honda dealers. This is XL Primetime, brought to you by Florida Home AC. Now that's cool on 1010XL.
Hanging out on a beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Thanks to the Golf Club of Southampton. You got the 9 after 5 tonight. You can come on out to Southampton. You knock off work, you get out there. We got a 9-hole game, some food afterwards, some prizes. All you got to do is call 287-PLAY. Get on the tee sheet. Would love to see you out there. Join Josie. Play a little 9 after 5. We've got Kevin Hardy in with us for one more segment. Number 2 pick in 1996 for your Jacksonville Jaguars. Came out of Illinois. Was it Kevin Hardy and Simeon Rice that went 2 and 3 out of Illinois that year? Is that right? 2 and 3?
Yep. Keyshawn was 1. I was 2. And Simeon was 3.
Yeah. Simeon had him a pretty good career, too. That's for sure. When
All
you go
three
back.
Of those dudes, pretty good career.
Yeah. So we got a couple questions that we want to throw Kevin Hardy's way. We've been still chopping it up, talking about the possibilities as far as what will fix this team. But when you think about the way you guys constructed the team back in the day, Kevin, bringing Leon in the same year you were drafted, you guys started to get on that run. What was it like? What are your biggest and fondest memories of your years in Jacksonville?
Well, I think when you first, like when the team first came, that first year, I wasn't here that first year, but if you look back, you look at that draft when it was Bocelli and James Stewart, you know, that draft was probably more offensive driven. Mm-hmm. Our draft was more defensive driven. You know, it was myself, Tony Brackens, Aaron Beasley. Yeah. And then we had a couple offensive guys too. Cheever, unfortunately, his career got cut short with injury, but Reggie Barlow. But I think our the focus for the Jags that year was more defensive driven. Mm-hmm. And then when I look at that team, you know, there was it was a good mixture of a lot of young talent and a few, you know, veteran guys. And in that year, they brought in some veteran guys. They brought in a Clyde Simmons, Andre Rison for a little bit. Unfortunately, that didn't really work out that
experiment.
Well.
Experiment.
But but it was a good group of young guys who were just hungry, you know, to play. And to be honest, I look at myself. You know, we're out there, you know, just playing a game that you love to play. I mean, Coughlin had us, you know, practicing super hard, and to some of the veterans who have been to other places, they knew that it was a little different than how it was, you know, there. But for young guys like myself and, you know, some other guys, it's all we knew. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, you know, one of the things that led to our success is because we did practice hard. At the time, we really didn't like it. A lot of us, you know, didn't really, you know.
Full pad Friday.
Yeah.
Right.
He's talking about a little different. It was a big difference. But here's K-Hall. He being modest, to be quite honest with you. Those three guys, him, Brackens, and Beasley, they were impactful.
Yeah.
All right? Anytime you go in the draft and you draft in the first three rounds, and they're all essentially starters and impactful starters on the defense side of the ball and young and hungry, that's what I mean by turning up the temperature. When you bring in a guy like Hardy, Kevin Hardy, and you bring in Brackens and Beasley, both, first of all, they don't stop talking, all right? They run their mouth in practice. But they brought energy. They brought energy in the locker room. They brought energy on the field because they were good at what they did, and they rejuvenated. You know, when you got guys like Classen, you got the little old heads.
He
that
was
play
chill,
out there.
Yeah.
So, but you got guys like, you know, Brackens and Beasley and Cardi making plays on the field. That translate to games. You know what I mean? That kind of energy translate to games, and they were a big part of the fact of how we made our run. Now, it took us some time to make our run because a lot of us were gassed. A lot because TC worked us. I mean, he worked us. And until TC was the type of person where he gave you a bone. He said, okay, I'm going to cut back on things. But he kept his hand on the bone. No, for real. I mean, he did. Am I lying?
You're not lying.
Give you a bone.
He's still talking on
but
it?
He said, listen, I'm going to give y'all a bone. I'm going to cut back on this and that or whatever. But as soon as y'all start losing, I'm going to go back to my old ways. So that's what made us, that's what translated us winning more football games because, you know, we wanted to keep that bone that he gave us.
Right? So, Kevin, none of us really know this because none of us were in the locker room, but looking at this from 30,000 feet, you see a team that's 8-3 playing for a chance to be the one seed, and then they're out of the playoffs in a month and a half. How does that happen?
You know, a lot of the, like these past years, you know, I looked at Jags, and one thing that I consistently see missing, and I don't want to be unfair to the guys, but, you know, veteran leadership, you know, guys grabbing guys by the collar, you know, and not in a way of talking down or disrespectful or anything like that, but just, you know, getting focused, you know, because knowing that guy has more than what he gave you, you know. And we had guys like Jeff Loggeman, who was a guy like that, you know, for us. You know, I remember, you know, there'd be times where, you know, something would happen and all of a sudden you get tugged on and it'd be Loggeman and he'd just look in your eye and say something and you respected it because he was a veteran guy, but you knew, you know. And unfortunately today, you know, I don't see a lot of that. I'm not for sure who that guy is on the team. I know, you know, who you know, you look at a guy like Josh Allen. Last year, he seemed to be more amplified, you know, than ever. Obviously, he was motivated, you know, by his contract. But I just think that there just needs to be, you know, some more leadership shown, you know, when times get rough.
Plus, see that Logs look. We see that Logs look all the time in the studio. So that's all you got to see is that look sometimes from somebody, right?
That's what I was saying. I said, what did I say about the Jaguars and the fact that they crumbled down the end? They ain't had no veteran leadership in that locker room. There's no way that our team back in the day would have been in a position that we were in, like 8-3, you know, and then crumbled all the way through and didn't make the playoffs.
See, that's because
when we were good, we finished good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or if we were bad, we finished good. We never were good and finished. We never did that. Nah.
See, that's why I like that hybrid, like you're saying, young stars that came in that 96 class, veterans like you that were brought in, and Clyde, and you can throw, you know, kind of the soup that they made, that Tom Coughlin made. Is that the same thing that's happening this year by getting Eric Armstead, by getting some of these other guys to come in and provide some of that?
Well, I mean, Carly would tell you, there's no coincidence that all those guys that they brought in, the playoff guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, they've been there. They've been where, you know, we are consistently trying to go. Mm-hmm. You know, I think back a few years ago when Calais came in here, you know, I mean, obviously, the whole city embraced that guy just for how they saw him on the field, you know, and he was that leader out there. And it's no coincidence that team, you know, really came together. And when things weren't going right, he was the guy that was pulling together. So hopefully Armstead could be, you know, a guy like that. I mean, but I still think that, you know, that Josh Allen, you know, I really expect him to step into that role this year and really be that guy.
We had Devin Lloyd sitting in that chair who plays your position, and he said the same thing to Big Sirs, that he wants to take on a little bit more of a leadership role. So those guys, they're growing. This is Devin Lloyd's third year. Josh gets his contract. That makes sense, right?
Yeah. Yep. And I mean, unfortunately, it's not just coming out and saying it. It's by, you know, by the actions, by the things that you know, do, how you practice, how you play, you know, and naturally – guys will follow you because they'll respect that, you know, and those guys know that, and so hopefully, you know, they take the bull by the horns and they're able to get it done.
They're wearing throwbacks. We haven't seen 100% exactly what it is, but that will be cool for you two guys, will it not? 30-year anniversary, and those throwback unis will be on.
Yeah, hopefully, I can find a K Hard jersey. I can't. It's hard to find them.
They all sold out. Bro.
Yeah, there you go.
They all sold out.
I happen to see on Twitter a guy in London had on a Hardy jersey. Man, I almost try to get a flight. Just go over and thank that guy, man. You know?
It is nice when you're respected.
When you're remembered.
Yeah, you know,
always
remember.
Good to be
it's
remembered.
Always good. Now
with the old jerseys, man. I love them. And
the Jaguar on the prowl. It was awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So here's some love for you. Tell Kevin Hardy shout out from the Tank, Jack, Big Brother. My question is, how long before the Jags can draft Langston Hardy? Now, you got two young sons, so he's bragging on Langston.
Yeah. I have two sons. Listen, they're a long way away from it, you know, and you know, hopefully they'll just have good college careers. I mean, you know, like we take it one day at a time. We take it one step at a time. And they just finished up spring ball, one at, you know, UConn, Langston at UConn, and, and Camden down at Wake Forest. And I was fortunate enough to go see both of them play.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, I'm just thrilled to death that they are, you know, kind of living their dream and you know, following in my footsteps. But, I mean, there's no pressure for me for them to do that.
Yeah.
That's something that they love to do, and I just enjoy watching it.
And Camden, is he your size? He played at Atlantic Coast.
Yeah, yeah.
He was a Stingray.
He's about 6'2". You know, hopefully he grows a little more. Langston's actually tall. Langston's like 6'3".
Okay.
But ironically, I have a nephew, my sister's son, who played at Georgia, and he's hoping to get drafted this week. So that's the first one in line. So hopefully he'll get his name called.
All right, so real quick, let's just throw a little college at you. You don't mind that, I don't think. What do you think about all the craziness, the NIL, the Big Ten, bringing in the USCs? This is crazy, man. Could you have ever imagined the Big Ten would have this many schools?
Yeah, the whole conference realignment just blows my mind. I mean, you know the fact that you got, you know, UCLA and USC in the Big Ten and here recently, what is it, Stanford and Cal and the ACC and it's crazy, but obviously we understand it's all about the money, but I don't like it. I mean, you know, I prefer to have those regional rivalries, that and a lot of them are going to still be there, but I just hate that, you know, that we're losing so many of the old school rivalries, that have been there for a long time.
You're not going to lose them anyway. It don't matter who.
They ain't say me. They talk about, they talking about personal.
Yeah, but hey, Kev, you were an elite player in college for multiple years. So let me put you in their shoes right now. Let's say you're a rising junior. You've got, already have all Big Ten honors. Would it be difficult for you to stay at Illinois and not take more money somewhere else?
You know, that's a tough question because, when you look at it from afar, it's easy to be like, oh, I'm going to go, take this, I'm going to go do that. But, not being in a position, it's just hard to think about. I think about, my career and I remember after my junior year, people were asking me, was I going to leave early to go to the draft? And, the talk was that I would be possibly a late first round, more like a second round, mid second round guy. And so it was easy for me to just say, I'm coming back, Vice versa, Simeon Rice was looking at being the first pick his junior year. And he came back. And to be honest, he's one of the big reasons why I got drafted where I was, because when he came back, so much focus was on him. But I only say that to say that, I was in college for 5 years. I redshirted and I stayed at Illinois for 4 years. And, there was never any, obviously there was never any thoughts back then about transferring. But I just can't imagine, like the work that I put in, there at Illinois with my guys, of just jumping
ship. You want to
see
it pay off.
Yeah. Especially if you have, potentially the NFL in sight. I understand. A guy comes from a bad situation, and you dangle that carrot of money, and it can help out. People.
Yeah.
But I just think that a lot, if that's the only reason. Then it could be a bad idea, because it'd be for the wrong reason, and you might be chasing something that's right there today, that if you just stayed and put, you might prepare yourself
eventually. Yeah.
So there's a lot to it. It's hard to, like, I don't want to down kids. I just hope that they get good advice. They got good people around them, when they're making decisions to leave and to go into the portal.
And they save some of that money, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Maturity and money could march at the same beat. Yeah. It would be. And you said, well, you didn't think anything about it either.
No, because I remember after my junior year.
You was getting paid down there.
Yeah, I was. NIL.
We see the TV. We see the Netflix.
Name, image, and loot. That's what I call it. Yeah, because my junior year at the Cotton Bowl, I remember the NFL scouts held me late first round, early second. And I remember right after the game, we beat Texas in the Cotton Bowl. I remember my offensive line coach running up on me and saying, "Hey, what's this talk about you coming out early?" I said, "What do you mean coming out early?" They said, you're coming out going to the draft. I said, Coach, I ain't going nowhere. But I said, it's good to know I could go out, come out if I wanted to. He just you just alerted me to it. But no, it was like me at Miami. I had helped build that house. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't going, you know, it's like you help build that house. You want to move into, you don't want to go down and move into another house. Especially
yeah, you want to reap the rewards of your
exactly.
work.
Exactly. Yeah. You want to reap the rewards of building that house that you built, you know. And that's what, and I felt like in Miami, we had unfinished business. I came in with a championship, and I wanted to leave with one, so I did.
Oh, yeah, man, go ahead.
He did. All right, one more stuck you with that, didn't he?
Yeah.
Championship.
One more back in time X and O question for you, and then we'll turn you loose because these fans are loving it, all
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Ask Kevin what it was like playing behind T-Brack. Did he know what Tony was doing, or were they always on the same page, especially knowing Donovan and Bees were behind him? Jaguar fan asking that question.
So asking about T-Brack?
Just operating. All three of you guys, three levels of defense.
Yeah. Well, first of all, Donovan, I always had to turn around and see where, because it was like friendly fire with him all the time. I mean, you know, I'm trying to think of a game. I think it was here in Cleveland. But I knew if I didn't get him right down, that Donovan was going to come down there and clean it up. And so, so that was a little rough. But T-Brack was just a special player. You know, you talk about a guy that was just so strong and explosive and, you know, didn't really look like, you know, look at the size. I mean, you know, probably undersized for mm-hmm. a defensive end, mm-hmm. but played as big as anybody, you know, and just had such like elusive speed and quickness, crazy power, you know, and you know, just an all out, you know, great football player, mm-hmm. you know, so it was, you know, it was really fun playing with him. You know, when I was getting drafted, I remember, you know, I got here in Jacksonville, and they had said that they had drafted Tony Brackens with the, you know, with the second pick. And all I remember was this video of Tony when he hit this punter. It was like might have been a place kicker in college. He was at Texas. If anybody just Google Tony Brackens Texas hits place kicker, it is the most devastating film that you've seen. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, this is going to be fun.
And he was one of those guys that they kept showing as he moved down in Jacksonville.
I'm going to have to Google that, by the way.
All right, so before you leave, you got to give him a big old Duval, because all Duval's listening. They love their Jags, 30-year anniversary. So thanks for hanging out with us. Give us a big one here.
Absolutely. Duval! That's the best you ever heard, sir, so I know it is, baby.
It's all right.
Thank you, man. It's XL Primetime.
Cruising with XL Primetime in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios on 1010XL.
With the 17th pick in the 2022 NFL Draft, the Los Angeles Chargers select Zion Johnson, guard, Boston College.
What's up, Bolt fans? Coming from Vegas. Can't wait to be there. So excited to be a Bolt. It's hard to do though. I'm so excited right now.
I think to myself, line protection, because this has been the argument on XL Primetime about whether or not to go big and ugly with that first round selection. Now, we put together 17 years of the 17th pick overall, and Zion Johnson was the last guy that went before we have our one from last year. That was 2022. And Justin Herbert didn't necessarily have a ton of great protection, but I'm still not going to say it's a bad idea, but there's an example of an interior lineman, middle of the first round. Meh.
He also didn't have any great coaching. Everything, that entire team.
I'm not going to. Yeah, I'm definitely not going to stand up for Brandon Staley. That's for sure. Thankfully, it was disastrous, because this team was able to come from 27 down and come back and beat them, and then he was kind of a dead man walking from that point on.
Right.
last year, but anyway. He was a guy that they did draft in the first round. And again, still a crapshoot. Always going to be a crapshoot.
Yeah, but, you know, you got to start somewhere. I mean,
not only that, you saw the 20 years of, the 20 years of you know, basically history of the draft, mm-hmm. and what guys hit and what guys don't. And O linemen are number two overall, and wide receivers are last. DAL, right. Last.
Mm-hmm. Number one, number two, and number three.
Yeah.
Offensive lineman. Take it all day.
Yeah. Mm.
All right. Now,
center tackle guard.
We don't know exactly what Trent Baalke's going to do, but I'm going to compare him to a guy that had a nickname, SSG. If you don't mind, let's fire up a little Corona call it, RJ. Let's do this right now with a little draft trivia.
He's going to drain it. It all comes down to this.
Oh, how did you call that?
Game recognized game.
All right, you guys got to call it. Corona setting it up with a draft trivia question. And listen, I love Corona, and they love the Cinco de Mayo party. As a matter of fact, we're cranking out the Tres de Mayo party with Corona next Friday. You can start your Cinco de Mayo weekend on Tres, May 3rd at La Naparea, right there on Beach Boulevard. We would love to see you. We'll have it set up. I'm going to give some prizes away. Bottom line is, put a lime in it. Come join us. 2 to 4 with our Tres de Mayo party with Corona at La Nap on Beach Boulevard next Friday. All right, so the nickname was Small School Gene. Gene Smith would go for the small school guys. He was an old Edinburgh dude, and he wanted to draft a small school guy. So is Trent Baalke a small school guy? In the first round, can you tell me the guy that he drafted that came from a non-Power 5 school in his GM history? That includes here in San Francisco. This is not an easy one, but it's one you might get.
It's definitely San Francisco.
In the non-Power 5.
In the first round.
In the first round. Now, small school Gene did not necessarily go small school in the first round, but he definitely gravitated.
Wait, is it Eric Armstead?
In that direction. Who?
Is it Eric Armstead?
Nope. All right, so you go back in time. You got Anton Harrison, Oklahoma. Trayvon Walker, Georgia. Devin Lloyd, Utah. Trevor, Clemson. ETN, Clemson. Then you go back to his San Francisco days. DeForest Buckner,
Oregon.
Eric Armstead, Oregon. Back-to-back years, he went to the Oregon Well, land of the Ducks. Eric Reed, LSU in 2013. A.J. Jenkins from Kevin Hardy's Illinois. Alden Smith from Missouri in 2011. So the only time that he stepped away was in 2014. Jimmy Ward out of Northern Illinois. There you go. All right, there you go. Corona call it. You guys didn't call it, but whatever. That wasn't an easy question, but we wanted to get it out there because we'll have some draft-related Corona call it.
That was difficult.
Yeah, I know. But look, all those other ones were pretty good. At least you could rip off all the ones that he did go in the Power 5. And so we'll find out whether or not he goes. He's got to go Power 5 when he gets to 17 or wherever he lands. We're going to pay off our X-Poll with the defensive backs. Question coming up here in just a second, but first.
That just happened. Brought to you by Florida Home AC, the official air conditioning partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
So speaking of big money Power 5s, Texas A&M has laid off numerous administrative support staff for their athletics program.
You're talking big oil is having a setback.
This is a quote from new AD Trev Alberts, by the way. We are on the cusp of unprecedented change in the world of intercollegiate athletics. As a department, we have to adapt and become more efficient and effective so that we are best positioned for changes to come.
What does that mean?
The university just paid a guy $76 million to not coach.
To go away.
All right? That a couple years ago guaranteed him a $90 million contract when he did nothing.
Yeah, he got an extension.
He literally had done nothing.
Yeah.
Now they're firing $40,000 a year people on the administrative support staff in the athletic department. I guess, because of the ever-changing intercollegiate landscape.
Yeah. Stay classy, Texas A&M.
So he's trying to say, because we're paying kids.
He's trying to blame it on, we have to start paying players now.
Ridiculous.
So they have to eliminate $40,000 or $50,000 a year jobs support staff for the program.
They're going to villainize the players that for over 100 years haven't been paid.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden you get paid. Now you're going to villainize them.
And by the way,
don't sell them that 50 short, 150 years.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And they had all that big oil, we like to call it big oil, in honor of Mr. 10, But they had all that big oil money that was given to the program to basically supplant Texas as the top dog in the Lone Star State. When they went to the SEC, they said, bring in all your money. And how much did they put into that athletics program? Like $600 million, some insane figure.
Yeah, they changed the stadium, the facility, everything.
Everything.
Practice,
then they
facility,
went out
everything.
And bought the highest rated draft class in the history of recruiting rankings. Highest rated ever. And then they lost, I don't know how many of them, to the transfer portal that were gone a year later. Did not make it to the bowl game. First team ever with that high rating in a recruiting class not to make it to a bowl game. They're a disaster. Disaster down there. And I don't know what's going to happen. Mike Elko, I like, but I don't know.
He'll straighten it up a bit. But I look at Texas A&M, and at some point you got to look at their history. Their history is they're just an average program. Every once in a while, they
have
a nice season.
They haven't accomplished anything.
Right, they're just an average program. And I don't see much more from them. I mean, Arkansas has a better history than Texas A&M.
Have you seen them in Atlanta? Hey, SEC fan, raise your hand if you're watching on YouTube. Has anyone seen them in Atlanta? No. They paid all that money. They did all that to improve their facilities. Now, they were bumping heads with Saban. I totally get it. But Jimbo wanted that. Jimbo wanted out of Tallahassee so he could bump heads with Saban and see if he could prove that he was the big dog.
Yeah, how'd that work out?
It didn't.
No, I will say this. It's a great school. It's a great campus. I mean, I think they have everything set up to win big.
Yeah.
They just haven't done it. And I think they thought they had the right coach with Jimbo, but obviously that didn't work out. And now $90 million in the hole later, now you're hoping Mike Elko does it. And Mike Elko did a nice job at Duke, really nice job. They slipped a little bit last year because Riley Leonard got hurt. But Mike Elko also walked into a pretty good situation there at Duke. When you look at what Duke was, okay, and when he walked in there, they had a quarterback. They had a foundation of defensive guys. They had gone downhill a little bit under Cut, but David Cutcliffe had at the very least had them in position with the framework where it wouldn't be such a heavy lift for him when he got there.
Right, right. And I know that everyone, and this includes even LSU with their success in 2019 and Brian Kelly getting his team to Atlanta in his first year, they were all bumping heads with Alabama. That ain't easy. Take anybody else in any other division or conference and you got to go toe-to-toe with the Crimson and White, you're probably going to come out with more L's than you are dubs. But at the same time, they spent to the hilt and went and got their coach that was going to go get in the ring with Nick and
well,
get
he also had three straight top five recruiting classes. So you would think that at some point those are going to pay off. And they didn't because they couldn't develop, and those kids left quick too because they weren't happy.
Yeah.
And that's all about your coach, your head coach, and your coaching staff.
Yeah, and you got to get it right, that's for sure. All right, we had a good conversation with Pop Howard. We'll make sure that is on 1010XL on demand. You can just go 1010XL.com and check that one out. A Jackson star here locally in high school, and then now he's gone from South Carolina to Florida after entering the transfer portal, so he's going to be down there. And then we had a great conversation with Kevin Hardy, that's for sure. And K-Hard, I still look at these guys and just marvel as far as the – amount of draft talent and free agent signings that this team had back then in the 90s. And this team still has not made it to back-to-back playoffs since the 90s.
Yeah, back-to-back-to-back.
Yeah, to back, which is –
That's why we'll always be loved and remembered.
96 to 99.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that until they do something about it.
Right. Tell everybody where you're going to be tomorrow afternoon.
Tomorrow I'm going to be at Daly's place. I'll be at Daly's place. Me, Paz, and Scobie. We're going to be doing questions and answers for the 30th anniversary of the Jaguars. And I'll be on stage.
That'll be around.
It's going to start at 7:30.
Okay.
So I'm going to be there about 7:30. We'll probably start everything about 7:45.
Beautiful.
We are one day away, people.
Yeah, one day away. Listen, and by the way, we had plenty of reaction on the text line. RJ, you want to pay off the X real quick as far as – because a lot of people do not want to move up to go get a cornerback. They may want to move up to go get a wide receiver or somebody else, but pay off the X poll.
Absolutely. Our X poll question brought to you by the good folks at Beaver Chevrolet and Beaver Toyota. If cornerback is the Jaguars' first round pick, who of these four would be your pick? You have the choices between Kool-Aid McKinstry, Quinyon Mitchell, Terrion Arnold, and Cooper DeJean. Also, do you feel you would have to move up or move down in the NFL draft in order to get these guys. Questions up on X, just search at 1010XL.
All right, so we will definitely pay that off as we get closer tomorrow and kind of see where they ultimately go. We had a good time. Thanks to the Golf Club of Southampton. You'll have a good time this afternoon if you want to go out there. 287 play. Join me. We'll be with the 9 after 5, 9-hole game, food afterwards, surprises, and then any other day of the week you want to go out there, you'll get a great golf experience. The Golf Club of Southampton. We are done. Joe C., Matty Hayes, Big Sirs, and RJ. You got the Francis Show coming up next.
You're riding in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios. XL Primetime on 1010XL.